You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi. We have a slightly different news program for you today with a special episode of Let's Talk Tillamook from our partners in Tillamook County, followed by Willapa Nature Notes and American Democracy Minute. Stay tuned.
I'm Shana Peterson, and this is Let's Talk Tillamook. I'm speaking with Wendy Corneliuson, the State Librarian of Oregon, about what her office does for communities like ours. Welcome to Let's Talk Tillamook. I'm Shana Peterson. Today we're talking about Oregon's public libraries and the fight to keep them free, funded, and accessible to everyone. Joining me is Wendy Corneliuson, the State Librarian of Oregon. Wendy, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wendy, tell us about your path to becoming State Librarian and what your office does for Oregon's rural and coastal communities.
Oh, well, thank you. I started working in public libraries way back in 2003, first part-time and then through my master's degree program. I worked at a public library for many years and then joined the Tennessee State Library and Archives back in 2010, working on some statewide programs there. I moved to Georgia and became the assistant state librarian in 2014. And then 4 years ago, in 2022, I moved here to Oregon to join the team at the State Library and get to work with a wonderful group of people and have been learning all about the amazing things that the State Library of Oregon does. I think the State Library of Oregon is best described as two libraries and a consulting firm. So we have the Government Services Library that is specifically for state employees and the legislature and make sure that those folks have access to the best possible information as they are making policy decisions for everyone in Oregon. We also run the Talking Book and Braille Library for the print disabled in Oregon. Now, that's anybody who can't read a standard 14-point font or hold a book, or a reading disability like dyslexia would certainly make someone eligible for the free service from the Talking Book and Braille Library. And then we have that consulting firm. So the Library Support Division is a small but mighty group of 10 staff members, and they offer a variety of deep expertise for the libraries across Oregon. And that's the K-12 public libraries, academic libraries, community colleges, library services in the tribal nations in Oregon, special libraries, law libraries. So we work with all of them across the state. It's quite a few. It's 1,900 altogether.
My goodness.
It's an awful lot. But in rural and coastal communities, you know, that certainly means advice and support for pretty much every topic, whether it's continuing education for staff members, youth services like the summer reading program. This year's theme is Plant a Seed, Read. We're very excited about all the fun ways that we can talk about farms and gardens, especially this summer.
I'm impressed. Thank you. Wendy, now Oregon joined 19 other states in a lawsuit to stop the federal government from dismantling the agency that funds libraries nationwide. Now, court ordered the grants restored, but the administration is appealing and the fight isn't over. Where do things stand? And what's still at risk for Oregon libraries?
You know, last year was certainly a whirlwind. And so in March of 2025, the current administration issued an executive order that dismantled the funding for the Institute of Museum and Library Services. IMLS is that federal agency that funds libraries nationwide. The State Library of Oregon gets each year about $2.6 million, IMLS, through a grant called the Library Services Technology Act, or LSTA. And here in Oregon, we use that LSTA money in really three big broad buckets. It is for the staffing of that library support division. It is for statewide services for everybody in Oregon, like AnswerLand, the 24/7 chat service that lets you talk to an actual librarian anytime you need one. It's for Northwest Digital Heritage, which is an online access point to all kinds of historic photos and primary source materials that you can look at anytime you want to learn more about so many different places in Oregon. It's also how we fund, I will call them the competitive grant programs with these LSTA dollars as well. And that's really an opportunity for local libraries in Oregon to say, hey, we've got this good idea. We need some help making it happen. There's actually a really good example of that happening right there in Tillamook, and it's the Chinook Library Network. So launched in March of 2025, it combines the library systems for Lincoln County Public Libraries and the Tillamook County Library System. It combines their back-end software system. So they're all now using the same checkout software program. It means that as a library user there in Tillamook, you can just from right at the Tillamook Library check and see what's on the shelf at any of those libraries up and down the coast. Perfect. You know, down in Waldport, if there's a book that you want to check out, you can just say, hey, that's it, that's the one. And the library system will do all the work of getting that book right to you. And you'll be able to check it out very seamlessly. It also means that there's a lot of cost savings for that library system as well. Because everybody's paying into that single bill instead of everybody having to pay individually for that software program.
Exactly.
It's that resource sharing component that is really what we use the federal funding for LSTA. So that's what it's at stake. But I'll catch you up a little bit on where we're at. So that there was a lawsuit filed in April of 2025, and Rhode Island as a state sort of led the charge there. So that's the name of the case. It's Rhode Island versus Trump. And there was a preliminary injunction that was last spring in 2025. In November of 2025, that preliminary injunction was made permanent. And then you're right, there was an appeal filed in January of 2026. But then just last month, IMLS as an agency took themselves off the appeal. So it's sort of, I think we're all still sort of holding our breath a little bit.
So much happening.
That means the lawsuit is over, and so we don't have to worry about the lawsuit anymore. Now, the fight is not over.
Okay.
The federal funding is, of course, an annual event, and every time a federal budget is created, or it goes through several phases, much like a state budget. Uh-huh. So first up, the executive branch puts forward their ideas, and so the president has submitted a federal budget for the next federal fiscal year, which is fiscal year 2027. It starts October 1st of 2026. The federal calendar is just a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And that budget has a big fat zero in it for IMLS as an agency. That's never what we want to see. But it also wasn't a surprise. That is what this administration did in its previous 4 years, and it was somewhat expected. The good news is that Congress is the one who actually sets the budget. So they will create the budget, and they are the one that passes the budget.
So we have hope.
And we have hope. And year after year, including in fiscal year 26, the federal government, the Congress, has put in funding for IMLS as an agency and for LSTA grants to make sure that every state agency gets, every state library gets funding. So we're happy to see that support continue, and we hope that that bipartisan support can continue for years to come.
I'm joined by Wendy Corneliuson, the State Librarian of Oregon, to talk about the record number of book challenges in Oregon last year and what it means for librarians and readers. You know, another thing, Wendy, Oregon has tracked book challenges since 1987. And the 2024 report set a record for items challenged in a single year. What is that tracking telling us? What does it mean for libraries on the front lines?
You know, that 2024 report was definitely record-breaking on several fronts. The State Library collects this data, and I believe we are the only state library that collects this data. You know, oftentimes it's just a request on a listserv to send in your reports. But here in Oregon, we send out an anonymous form that people can fill out to tell us about challenges that they're aware of. And we also scan news reports for challenges to make sure that we're capturing as many of those reports as possible. We know that these are underreported. We know that there is a gap between what's happening in the field and what we're able to really fully recognize. So a challenge can be a formal written request, or it could be the theft of library material. We also track things like vandalism inside a book, or when someone tries to remove pages from a book.
Okay.
The tracking tells us, you know, a few different things. You know, one of them is, of course, that even with a state constitutional amendment, Oregon is not immune to censorship attempts. But it also shows us how books are still valuable and the important ways that humans connect with stories. Books help us make sense of the world, and having a wide collection of books so that everyone can find themselves in a story is powerful. Banning books is a way to try and control the narrative of what is possible, of who we are and what we can become.
I like that. I love my books. Yeah. I love my bookshelves.
Absolutely. So the folks working on the front lines, working at the checkout desk at the library, are fighting to make sure that you can find your story at the library. So one of the big changes we've seen in the last few years is it's gotten mean, gotten personal in some cases.
Yes, we've seen that in Tillamook.
Yeah. There are our library staff in Oregon who have been doxxed, where their home address has been shared. There are library staff who've had their tires slashed. There are library staff who've had their lives threatened. And these are public servants doing work they feel called to do,
yes,
making sure that everyone has access to the information.
For someone in a coastal community who values their library, is concerned about what they're hearing, what do they need to understand about what's at stake? And what can ordinary people actually do to help?
You know, first of all, I hope everyone listening has a library card. I hope they use their library card. And whether that's for books or the cake decorating kit you can check out at the Tillamook Public Library, I hope you're really taking full advantage of the resources that are available. Please talk to your elected officials. Especially public libraries are very much always going to be locally funded. Make sure your local officials know how important the library is to you, how much you value having a space that you don't have to pay to get into, a space where you're not being advertised to every second of the day. You know, make sure your state elected officials know that as well. And then, of course, at the federal level, please thank Representative Bonamici for co-sponsoring the Right to Read Act and for supporting the Institute of Museum and Library Services. We're incredibly grateful for all the support that we've received, especially over the last year.
Thanks for joining us, Wendy. And for the full conversation, find us on Let's Talk Tillamook YouTube channel. I'm Shayna Peterson, and this has been Let's Talk Tillamook. That's Wendy Corneliuson, State Librarian of Oregon. If you want to hear the full story, from federal funding to book challenges to what's ahead, find the complete conversation on the Let's Talk Tillamook YouTube channel. I'm Shayna Peterson. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. American Democracy Minute is up next. You're listening to KMUN.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court let stand a case from the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals June 22nd, which takes another step towards striking down a private right of action for Voting Rights Act cases. For the moment, it impacts only 7 states, but it may be the next VRA domino to fall. In 2023, the Eighth Circuit Court overturned a 2023 Arkansas redistricting case, ignoring years of precedent and ruling that only the U.S. Justice Department had authority to bring VRA cases. Historically, individual voters and pro-democracy groups brought 90% of VRA cases. It applies only to Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota, and legal scholars considered it a radical opinion. A similar argument in the Fifth Circuit was rejected. The latest case, also from Arkansas, concerns a state law limiting assistance to voters who are disabled or have limited language skills. The Eighth Circuit again ruled the voters did not have standing under the VRA's Section 2, and June 22nd, the U.S. Supreme Court let the case stand. Pro-democracy groups argue that Congress clearly reaffirmed the private right of action when it updated the Voting Rights Act in 1982. But in 2021's Brnovich v. DNC, Justices Thomas and Gorsuch questioned whether such a right existed. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to KMUN.